Well, hello again, everyone, and welcome to the Bob and Ray Show with Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding.
Well, good afternoon, everyone.
And hello again, friends, and it's so good to be back with you on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon.
We have our trio with us for music. And we have a guest in the studio. I wonder if you would just come over here and say a couple of words. It's really a pleasure to have you here, young Dr. Malou.
Hi.
Can you tell the folks how old you are? 3 years old. Okay. You're enjoying yourself?
Wonderful. That'll be $10.
No, all right. Thank you. Our guest of honor. And who else do we have, Ray? Anybody?
Well, we have the usual standbys. Let's see. Miss Magoon is over preparing our evening meal.
Mm-hmm.
Tex is over yonder, I notice.
How did Bob and Ray?
Quiet down, please, Tex. We're busy here in the middle of the program.
What was that I saw you buying a... what was it, a birthday card this afternoon?
No, a greeting card.
Oh, a greeting card.
And they have cards for everything now. I got one for a friend of mine. It says, very glad your skin cleared up.
Yeah, they have them for practically everything now. I was noticing the other day. They have them for practically the type of thing where a fella has owed a bill for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He says, so happy you've paid that bill.
Sure, or I saw an interesting card I'll have to send out to some of my friends. I drove past your house last week, and I'm so happy to see that your lawn didn't burn this year.
And then for the people who've had a lot of rain, they say, too bad the rain spoiled your lawn this year.
Or how about this one, Bob? I'm awfully glad that trouble with the bank cleared up for you,
yeah,
friend.
Yeah, that's always a good one.
That's a very good card.
if you know fairly well, I suppose.
Oh, so much for that.
Well, boys, I've had more mail on the sour cream. I'm very pleased to report.
You have,
Look at all this mail here.
Several envelopes,
at the front. Yes, mm-hmm.
Hold it up for camera number 3, will you?
Oh, stop that nonsense, Bob. And we've had so many wonderful suggestions.
Any better names than you had yesterday?
Well, yes, but I'm going to save them all, and then we'll run through them on some other day.
Are you offering any prize for the name we select for sour cream?
No, Bob, because, as you know, my funds are limited. I myself am not wealthy. I wish I could offer anything, but I don't have a nickel, as you know. And if anyone was to give prizes, it would have to be you two boys. Very definitely.
Well, we're not in a position to offer anything either, Mary.
Surely.
We have a small budget on the show.
Yes.
And it will have to be up to you if you want to offer anything.
Certainly, yes.
Mm-hmm. I should think the least you fellas could do would be to chip in and put up some kind of a prize for Mary to give. After all, she's been asking for this mail for several days.
Why don't you, Tex, mind your own business?
It's none of your business, Tex, actually.
You've had nothing to do with it at all.
Well, I know, but I just take a friendly interest in things that go on.
And I didn't like your suggestion, curdled cream. I didn't think that was very good. I think
that was the best that I could think up. Curdled cream.
It's as bad as sour, honestly, Tex.
Incidentally, me and the Smoky Valley boys will be playing out at Bald Knob, Montana this Friday night for 3 big shows. Hope all you folks can get out there. And if you're thinking of sending us a food package, why don't you hold it, you folks around Bald Knob, and bring it over to the town hall there.
I think that's wonderful, Tex. And where are you going from Bald Knob?
Bald Knob, we go down into Kentucky Saturday night. I haven't got my book and book here. I don't know exactly where we're going to be playing, but...
Yeah,
we will be playing several shows there for you folks.
Is it true that you have some glossy pictures of you and the boys for sale?
We have pictures, 8x10 photos of me and the Smoky Valley boys ready for hanging. And you can get these pictures simply by sending to Hanging, NBC, New York.
Or when you make your personal appearance at Bald Knob or Lick Skillet, Kentucky, or any of those places, I suppose you could sell them there, too.
I suppose we could. In fact, we aim to.
Fine. Well, excuse me, Tex, but I want to talk to Bob for a moment. We have a very interesting musical selection here this afternoon, and I think we should go into it in a little bit of detail.
I know one thing, fellas, is arranged by Morty Lipman.
That's right. That's right, author. And it's called Four Brothers, and it's...
Called what?
Four Brothers.
Four Brothers.
Patty, Maxine, and Laverne, and I forget the other one's name.
George.
Joe.
George or Joe. Let's all write that down, shall we? Four Brothers.
All right, now, wait a minute. Write that down. Four Brothers. Played by the Magic Bob and Ray Trio and arranged by Morty Lipman. All right?
That about covers it, I think.
Well, let's listen to it. ¶¶
Deucedly good.
Really enjoyed that very much. And if any of you people have an idea or some good names for those four brothers, we'd certainly love to have them here at NBC. Just send the names along to us. Now then, Bob, we haven't become involved in a mystery in a long time.
That is other than this, you mean?
The whole program.
This is kind of a mystery, I think.
Sure, but I think maybe we should go into it in great detail today.
Well, there's one that has always been a very great favorite of mine that I believe we should adapt for our own program and use freely.
I think that would be a very good idea. Now, do you happen to know offhand
name of it is? Yes, I thought of it this afternoon. It's called Mr. Public Attorney.
And it shall be my duty as public attorney of this county prosecute to the fullest extent of the law all criminals guilty of crimes perpetrated within its boundaries, and to defend with equal vigor the rights and privileges of all its citizens.
Today, Mr. P.A. opens the files on one of his most famous cases, the case he calls the Overnight Suit case. Now, in his spacious office, lined with pictures of all the people he should have sent to the chair, we see Mr. P.A. as he buzzes for his assistant, Harrigan.
Where is that fool?
Here I am, Chief.
Come in, you fool. Or come in, Harrigan.
You call me, Chief?
That's right, Harrigan. Where's Miss Mueller?
I believe she's out to lunch.
Why is she always out to lunch when I need her?
She always seems to be when you need her, Chief.
Harrigan, would you go out to the files and get me the case on Babe Waldo? I've come across the meanest, dirtiest racket in my 48 years of public attorney this morning.
You mean...
Yes, it's a bicycle theft ring with international implications.
I'll get the file, Chief, and be right back.
Let's see here.
Lucky thing I thought of this automobile, Chief. We're on our way to Babe Waldo's right now.
It's all right, Harrigan. Watch where you're going now, Harrigan, please, because I must be protected. You see, I'm a certified public attorney.
I'm a very careful driver, Chief. Besides, we don't have any automobile crash record tonight.
I believe this is Babe Waldo's place now. All right, stop, Harrigan.
I'll pull over to the curb and stop. There we are. You out, Chief?
Where did you get that door on this car, Harrigan?
I don't know. It's the car that we've always used, Chief.
Follow me up these stairs here. Fortunately, we're wearing sneakers and we're on a carpet.
You realize this is the first mystery program where they haven't worn leather heels?
I know it. It's another conspicuous first for us again, Harrigan. All right, rap on the door.
Yeah?
It's... Mr. Public Attorney here. I wonder if I could come in and have a word with you, Babe.
Oh, sure. Be right there. Hello, Mr. P.A.
What a funny-sounding door you have, Mr. Waldo.
That sounds funnier than the one we have in the automobile, Chief.
Quiet, Harrigan. There's no
it's
time for this
now. Automobile door, that's why.
I noticed it when we came up the steps. All right, Waldo, we've got the goods on you. Now, where were you last night, and what did you see? Harrigan, write this down.
Right, Chief.
Well, it was this way. I was driving out to the cemetery, see? Around the bewitching hour. That's midnight. When along comes this automobile, driven by George Raft.
Go on.
In the back seat is Humphrey Bogart, Broderick Crawford, somebody else I didn't see who it was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hid in the bushes till they went by, and I was just about to come out from my hiding place, the bushes, when a moving van comes up.
Go on, finish the story.
That was driven by James Cagney.
All right, the handcuffs on him, Harrigan.
Right, Chief. I think we've got the goods on him.
We've got you now for the last time, Biffle.
And here to tell you how he solved today's crime is Mr. P.A.
The gentleman came to my office and confessed.
And now, with a word about next week's case, here again is Mr. Public Attorney.
Thank you. Next week, our program time has been shortened somewhat in order to present some kind of an eclipse broadcast or something. And so, we'll only have 10 minutes with you. So I've decided that next week we'll draw from my files the shortest case we have on record, one we call the Brief Case. I hope you'll be listening.
Well, this seems to be interview day. We heard from somebody there a little bit earlier, and we have another guest in the studio who has been waiting for over a week now to appear on our program. He's a man, a very strong, stalwart fellow, who drives one of those stock cars that we hear so much about these days. And we've asked him to come up and tell us a little bit about the thrills and spills, the excitement connected with stock car racing. Mr. Marvin L., Hummin' Hill, welcome to the Bob and Ray Show.
Thank you very much, fellas. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
How do you feel?
Fine.
I understand that you've been driving stock cars for some time now. Is that right?
No, I've just started this year.
Just started this year, and you built your own car, did you?
Technically, you have to build your own...
Speak up just a little
technically,
bit.
Technically, you have to build your own car, or they won't let you drive it.
You have to build your own automobile, and you drive it yourself.
That's right.
I suppose you've had some interesting and probably pretty exciting experiences in your long life as a stock car driver.
No, I haven't.
Have you ever had any dangerous accidents on the stock car track?
Well, yes, Mr. Elliott. Some funny, odd things...
You're looking at Mr. Goulding now.
Oh, Mr. Elliott, some funny, odd things have happened to me while I was driving my stock car. One time I had the steering wheel come off my hands.
The steering wheel came off while you were driving the car. That must have excited you quite a bit and probably scared you.
Well, it scared me quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, we were on a curve.
In your stock, how fast were you going in the car?
About 83. The speedometer said 86, but
80,
it's wrong.
80,
it's about 83 I was going.
83 miles an hour when all of a sudden the steering wheel came off as you sat there in your stock car.
Yes.
You were going around a curve. What happened?
Right into the wall.
Went into the wall, huh?
It's the only way we could stop. Uh-huh. Of course, I will admit I'm a bit foolish, actually. You see, I let the other drivers check my car before each race to make sure it's all right.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Hummin' Hill, for coming up today and telling us a little bit about your interesting occupation. We'll be out to see you.
Well, thank you very much, fellas.
Well, it would look, Ray, as if today's show is over, or my name isn't Denise Darcel.
You're right, Bob, or my name isn't the Silver Mask Spooner. So let's go on now.
Till tomorrow, this is Bob Elliott.
Ray Goulding. And write if you get work.
Hang by your thumb.
Oh, you silly, silly, mad, crazy boys.
We're here every day, Monday through Friday, with Bob and Ray. So until next time, so long from Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding. Bob and Ray came to you through the facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.